It's a real pleasure to welcome Jeff Dwyer, Director of MSU Extension. Extension is celebrating 100 years this fall, so a great accomplishment. We were just in Detroit to announce the kickoff of the MSU Detroit Partnership for Food Innovation and Learning. So a terrific day for Michigan State, Jeff.
I completely agree and really appreciate the opportunity to be here to talk a little bit more about that. It was a great morning. You know, we had our fall conference, as you know, in Detroit. We had the opportunity to have Mayor Duggan welcome us there. And one of the things he said was one of his mottos is nothing without us is about us. And I think this morning we saw that we have great community support there, our 100-year legacy since we've put our first ag educator there in 1917, and all of the work that our people have done over that 100 years and are doing today is really going to pay off in this new opportunity.
So this is the fourth site in the area?
That's right. And we're excited about that. And it's really going to allow us, I think, in the northwest part of Detroit, in the Riverdale neighborhood, part of the Brightmoor area.
District 1.
District 1, that's right. And we were fortunate to have Councilman Tate there this morning. And he's been great to work with, as have many others. And so we're excited to have soon a physical location in that site. But really, it's an opportunity for us in urban agriculture as well. It will be about many other things, but it's an opportunity for us to address everything from healthy soils and how those trying to really build an urban ag economy in Detroit can benefit from our scientists. It's also an opportunity, as you talked about this morning at the site there in Riverdale, to really draw out of our product center expertise to help start new businesses and things like that. And even I had a chance to talk with some folks from Eastern Market this morning, and we'll be doing more. We are already, but we will be doing more to get our farm finance people working more closely with some of these new urban ag businesses so we make sure they're on a strong footing as they start these businesses.
Mm-hmm. And I commented this morning they're looking at how to aggregate products for sale and beyond the Eastern Market, which has been terrific for its development, is terrific, but it still has a limit on what it can sell.
Yes.
And we need to be in supermarkets like Meijer and others, big chains. Walmart will take anybody who wants to have our Michigan products in them. And one of the things we comment on, the extension was very instrumental in the cheese industry in getting an aggregation, a co-op model, if you will, mm-hmm. because no one producer could make the threshold mm-hmm. to be able to sell enough of their cheese to make it worthwhile to deal as an individual. But the old co-op model of eons ago mm-hmm. Was really redeployed in the 21st century version to do that. And Extension is also now helping people to do e-retail.
That's right.
And so it's not simply selling in a store, but really being successful with their products in e-retail.
That's exactly right. And as you know, that's both a direct sale model in many cases, but also it's learning about how to sell through other vendors who are obviously very successful at that.
How do you see, when you talk about ag educators in the city of Detroit and in the surrounding area, how do you see that being a benefit to, I have a son that lives in downtown Detroit, right. of being a benefit to those that live in the city, that live in the surrounding area? Where is the extension program
right.
really having that benefit?
It's a great question, Mark. So I think from the ag education, urban agriculture side specifically, it's an opportunity to not just address food security, mm-hmm. but to address the kinds of foods that people need and that we can help make available to them. I think there's already some great work being done in Detroit in specific locations in terms of growing vegetables and other sorts of things. Even in the Brightmoor area, there are a couple of individuals that have bought several city lots or acquired several city lots and are doing either larger scale agriculture but on separate lots, or are in one case are even doing sort of an orchard kind of situation but in separate lots. So I think it'll be an opportunity to bring direct products to people that maybe they're grown in the Brightmoor area but taken downtown so that people can have access to them. I also think it's going to be a tremendous opportunity for us to grow our youth programming surrounding that urban agriculture notion. And so one of the first classes that we're going to launch that we're not already doing. And one of the points I want to make that we talked about this morning is Extension already does a great deal of programming throughout Detroit. We have 38 people in Detroit already.
Right.
And we this will give us an opportunity to grow that number. So in addition to the programming we've already been doing in Detroit and specifically in the Northwest area, one of the first new things we're going to start related to this site, working with our partners at Wellspring, which has a facility right across the street. Mm-hmm. So this is pre-having anything on this piece of land, is going to be an urban gardening class that will start in February for the neighborhood, the larger neighborhood, precisely so that people can begin to think about growing already in the spring in a way that might benefit them as individuals. We think that's a tremendous opportunity for youth, specifically through our 4-H programs, but it might not be exclusively through our 4-H programs.
Youth are you serving now through 4-H in Detroit?
Well, I actually don't know the specific number in Detroit. Across the state, we serve 200,000. A little north of 200,000 youth in 4-H. Our programs are very successful in Detroit. I wish I had the number for you specifically, but they're very successful. In Brightmoor last summer, for example, we did a STEM robotics class for about a dozen students.
And I want to sort of touch on, so people, we're talking about agriculture, we're really talking about food systems now, not simply growing systems, but food systems,
yep.
including food processing, as well as growing to scale for profitability,
mm-hmm.
but also to scale for food insecurity.
That's right.
And then also for smaller plots so that people have access to their own fruits and vegetables and herbs and things that are part of the farm-to-table approaches that this generation of youth are very interested in. But 4-H is really not about taking animals to the fair. We still do that.
We do. Yeah.
But it has a technology track.
Absolutely.
So talk a bit about the four tracks and 4-H.
So we have several tracks. We have the STEM technology tracks. We, of course, have the traditional agriculture. I bought a hog for the first time this year from a 4-H kid up at the UP State Fair. But in places like Flint, last time I was here, we were talking some about Flint. It was our 4-H Companion Animal Club that has a real impact on the kids in terms of learning how to train and take care of a companion animal. But in that case, it became an auxiliary benefit was the opportunity to talk to them about water and lead in the water and all of those sorts of things. I wanted to, if I might just, as we think about scaling businesses, I think another important part, Mark, about what we can help with in Detroit that we try to do in all communities, but the Product Center is a particularly good locus for that. The Product Center last year helped launch 93 different food products or businesses. So it really has a remarkable impact. But I think that they would say they probably worked with three or four times that many who were thinking about launching a product or a business. And my point here is that part of scaling or part of even starting is this viable in the first place?
Right.
And that's what we talked with the folks a bit about the Easter market this morning. Sometimes people get into these things that were a hobby, for example, thinking they're a business but don't necessarily have the full background to do the analysis to understand whether they can be successful. And it's only after there's trouble that they began to see that there are some other questions. So I think that's a big part of what we want to try and bring as well is really make better known these resources that in many cases we already have available but really need to grow.
So the connecting points you have are very, I'm assuming, have to be very diverse among campus and who you're working with from a research standpoint,
that's
development
right.
standpoint, but also community, civic government, developers
yep.
on where their focus and plan is and going in the future. You know, if the city's changing, you want to be ahead of the game, right?
Yes. You know, it's a great point. And, you know, it's funny because one of the things I've started to talk about with our folks in Extension is that among the other things that we are, we're sentinels throughout the state in a broad range of areas. And so I think in the way that you're referring to, we have the opportunity because we're in communities across the state, specifically in Detroit and Southeast Michigan in this case, we cover so many different domains that we have the opportunity to know what's going on at the front end. And to I think our challenge, and President Simon and I have talked about this, our challenge in Extension is to orient ourselves in a way that we can respond at the front end. It's one thing to know that something's going on. It's another thing.
To apply and prioritize, because exactly. there's so many things that you really need to focus it on what's critical and important.
Exactly.
In the case of this sort of Riverdale Brightmoor neighborhood project, you talk with 300 people before we launch the plan for the project.
That's right.
I take some responsibility for not having a sign except changing the name of it a bit. But the sign is going to be made by young people in the community.
That's right. The sign will be made by an existing business of sorts in the area, young people who make these signs. And our district coordinator for the area was quite funny this morning about we did send him through collectively, not all you, but partly you, six or seven different iterations of it. But it really will be an opportunity and really one of our goals will be to utilize the neighborhood businesses as much as possible. Even this morning, the goodies and the coffee and tea and that was provided by a local business that, interestingly enough, the first time I was ever in it 2 years ago, I walked in. It's a little cafe in a home in a neighborhood. I walked in and their ServSafe certificate was on the wall. Well, a lot of people don't realize, but Extension is a big trainer of folks through ServSafe, and she had, in fact, been through an Extension ServSafe program. So it's really fun for me to go out and see how these things sort of really connect in ways that sometimes you don't realize. And I saw that proprietor again this morning. She was there. The goodies she had were fantastic. And she's just really grateful both that we were there to help in a small way in the front end, but that she's been able to partner with us on this project as well.
I think that, you know, if you're part of the dialogue in Detroit now, and also the rhetoric around the election, there's great concern in Detroit about, you know, how the success that's in downtown that your son is a part of
right.
spreads to everyone.
Right.
And having people, young people, young Spartans, old Spartans who are part of this renaissance of downtown be part of the renaissance of the neighborhoods. And one of the ways to do that is to support Extension. Mm-hmm. That's always been there in the neighborhoods. And worrying about healthy diets, healthy kids, augmenting traditional education programs, oftentimes without a sign anywhere. Because you would not if you walked into this tea house and you just saw the ServSafe certificate, you would know from anything that was a part of MSU making that business profitable and better. Or over time, in the times I've been to Detroit, I've been in neighborhoods where having a hoop house was the biggest invention possible in looking at urban food. And now it's just a ho-hum. Mm-hmm. But Michigan State has been a part of that.
Yep.
And doing it with people. And then when they get walking faster or running faster, we're there again when they need to either have a problem in case of pesticides or bugs or problems of weather or problems of scalability if they really want to scale. But we're down their path of success to be there again when they need us. And it's a hard thing to really see, because some folks we don't know we're in Youthville or in the Eastern Market or the other places, yep. or this as really one of the first urban, really genuine experiment stations.
That is true.
In the country.
Yes,
right?
That's true.
You know, and so part of what we need Spartans to do, like your son, is to remind people that we're just a part of success, but we're not the success, because it's the people of Detroit who are the success.
Yep.
And we're just there to try to help along the way in that. And also, as you are part of living in Detroit, you know, diversifying where you, if this neighborhood really turns into what we think it will in terms of opportunities to buy things in a rich neighborhood, go out there and help them.
Mm-hmm.
Don't just stay downtown.
Right.
Or buy products from the Eastern Market or wherever you might see them downtown, or encourage products to be in stores downtown where there are more people that represent the neighborhoods. And so one of the pitches, we get some of this stuff going in a bigger way, is to see if, you know, people who have big venues will want to just do a little bit more of the products that support the neighborhoods. Mm-hmm. And I think there's a synergy we can develop over time that really makes everyone feel more a part of the renaissance of Detroit than they might feel right now, though they're appreciative of streetlights and the infrastructure changes, because without those, we couldn't do anything.
Right.
I mean, so those were necessary, but they're not sufficient for the success of Detroit. And we just want to be a small part of that. And Extension is there every day doing that,
right.
Along with osteopathic medicine in the clinic. And the list sort of goes on and on beyond Extension, but or people who are working with trying to think about education. But we're not, you know, we're like the old commercial about BASF, you know. We're not the product. We're the thing that hopefully makes the product
right.
a little bit better.
Yeah. And going back to a comment you made a bit ago, Mark, I think the connection to the university then really helps to amplify what President Simons was just saying, because Extension really is a window to the rest of the university in many ways. And, you know, I'll venture to say, you know, a dozen or a couple of times a day, or maybe some days many dozens of times, it's that person out in the field, whether that's Detroit or the Thumb area, or but they have a question and they're connected to someone on campus. One of my in some ways most satisfying moments in the early stages of this was when this site was first identified after President Simon talked to Mayor Duggan. We sent a couple of our people out from campus that do soil testing and are experts and that sort of thing. And about a week later, they had the results, and we were meeting around a table, and they just sat down and they had these papers, and they said, "We can't take this." And it was, but what led to it was a Michigan State style conversation, because it was about, okay, here's the soil expert
right.
saying this is really problematic soil, but then other people around the table saying, but that's why we have to do this
right.
because that is the soil that people deal with in urban areas. And our job is, you know, sometimes people end up sort of, they want to improve a lot or grow on a lot, and it's like, what are the, here's the six choices, which one do I do mm-hmm. that's going to be most effective? This is an opportunity for us to do the work with the scientists here on campus to say, of these six options, hypothetically, here's the two that might work. Here's the one that we think works best, and that helps them. The other piece of this that I just want to mention quickly is it's agriculture, but we also have forestry heavily involved in this, and urban forestry is extremely important. The Department of Forestry is very involved in this project, and one example would be we have an assistant professor in forestry named Emily Huff, who is both a forester and a social scientist. And her research is really about the interaction between forest systems and human beings. And there's some really good research coming out about the importance of green space and tree cover and things like that as it relates to things like mental health and quality of life. And so we really have an opportunity to do what only a place like, I think, Michigan State can do in this sense, to really cover just an incredibly wide range of topic areas. And because our people are already there, they're trusted parts of the community, they're the neighbors. They see them in church. They see them in their civic organizations. We have an opportunity to just make a tremendous difference by working closely with the partners that are already there.
So I want to close with kind of a tough question here.
Yeah.
And as you look at MSU Extension,
yeah.
100, celebrating 100 years, we've been in the communities, in the neighborhoods. Downtown Detroit has a lot of shiny new buildings,
yeah.
and it looks really, really good. I would argue that the next 10 years is going to be critical for Detroit, thus our state. What does MSU Extension need? If you could ask today, what does MSU Extension need to be a vital player in those next 10 years in order to be effective in continuing the great work that you've done for the past 100?
You know, it's a great question, Mark. And I think what I need is more people. One of the advantages we have in Extension is virtually all of our almost $90 million budget goes directly to the people that do the work. We certainly have an infrastructure that helps support them. In the way that you described that, I think what we want to be a part of doing is taking the investment and the great work that's being done to put up some shiny new buildings. I just had a chance to get a tour of the Red Wings Arena the other day. It's just amazing what's happening. But we need to be a part of drawing that out into all of Detroit and then into all of Wayne County.
No question.
And I think that's where, so when I say people, I know that, you know, that's probably what 99% of the people in my role would mm-hmm. say. In our case, it's really true because we know we have youth, we know we have seniors, we know we have budding business people who need us. And what we need to do is be a part of planning that human resource sort of in spokes out from the downtown Detroit sure. area so that we can really help serve all of the people of Detroit.
I think there is a need for folks who are not seen as project people. Mm-hmm. Because I think you can always bring people in and do a project. And then those people will leave. But they're not feeling accountable for making it better along the way. What Extension does is they're rooted in the community. Mm-hmm. And if after we do something, they feel responsible for checking up on it.
Right.
Okay. And seeing if it's okay. Not necessarily taking credit for it, but checking up on it.
That's right.
And it's the same way the College of Ed takes responsibility for the teachers we send out.
Mm-hmm.
And not just say, here's your diploma, thank you very much, but feeling like we have a role to play through them to make schools better. And so some of it is, for me, having people think about Extension not as a project to do where you can give us some money and it's over and, like, give us some advice. Because we do that and we can do that. But it's about the long-term nurturing of change and it's persistence and consistency, but not consistency of doing the same thing, but it's when something develops in the community, then being prepared to pull back from that and let them grow and move resources to a different area so we can nurture and grow something else in partnership with people. And then to do enough research to be out ahead so that we can anticipate some of the problems and have answers quicker than what you might otherwise have. Mm-hmm. And so it's not sort of project people per se, but it's this kind of enduring set of people.
I think you're exactly right. And, you know, that was one of the reasons we were able to be helpful in Flint, right? Because mm-hmm. we were already there. We were already committed. And so I couldn't agree with that, more. And so that is the context within which I say people. I mean, I think we have a unique role to play in the community. Mm-hmm. And it's all the things we've talked about, including sort of the connector notions that people think about so much. I mean, our people really are connectors out there in mm-hmm. every community in which we're engaged.
And it's not that we have to be the sole provider of knowledge,
nope.
because the other thing that we have to do together in Detroit as people, it's like when people rush to Flint, they were there for a short period of time in some cases.
And gone now.
And they're, spotlight's gone,
yeah.
you know, but Extension's still there trying to worry about things. And, you know, all the answers are not going to be perfect because knowledge is never perfect in that regard. But you get the continual improvement of that knowledge mm-hmm. as we know more. And hopefully the trust that people will, at least if they don't like the answer, at least will accept it's done with integrity and not with another agenda. And in order for us to bring back lots of places that have felt so disenfranchised, you just have to do that.
Mm-hmm.
So it's this relationship infrastructure, it's this intellectual infrastructure, but at the same time, Extension has to be able to not feel that it has to duplicate what work others are doing, but augment that work.
That's right.
And that's a harder job, and sometimes to figure out how to augment and leverage instead of just coming in and doing the more easily defined project.
Right. And that's, as you know, why we spend so much time in communities before we make a major investment, because it varies by geography, varies by region, varies even by city or community. Mm-hmm. Where are the gaps that we can help fill?
It's outstanding.
Yeah.
Thanks so much,
Jeff. This is really great work.
And there is great excitement. Just another sentence that Mayor Duggan used when he spent time with us in Detroit was, what could be better than taking the greatest agricultural university in the world and partnering with a city that has available space to work together? Mm-hmm. And I think that's really the sentiment that everyone's been working under.